Well, good morning again. Trusting you guys had a great week. We are back in Philippians again, and we jumped ahead last week, and we, as Stephen was saying earlier, we learned about shining stars, and how we get there is, according to Philippians, one of the key steps is gratitude. Were you practicing your gratitude this week? I was in my own life, and I was helping along my family as well, and got some grumbles in return for that. I was going to say some of what they told me, but we'll just leave that to your imagination. But was helping them have some different perspectives on life, and sometimes we need some different perspectives, don't we? Amen. How about every day? We really do. And so we're going to review. This is what we've read so far, or not except for the first couple verses. But we did this a couple Sundays ago when Michael Sanchez was here, and I would like us to do it again today because it was so cool. So I've got three slides of verses. This is the ones that we've done already, so we're going to review just for context. We're going to read through this, and then I've got two more slides of the verses that we're going to do today. Yeah, two slides of verses that we're going to do today. I'm taking off, biting off a big chunk here. So I would like us to read this together. Can we do that? Some of you nodded your heads. Can we read this together? All right. Thank you. All right. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? Isn't that good stuff? All right, so that's what we've done so far. Now we're going to get to the new stuff. All right, ready? Got your reading lips on? It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That's verses 7 and 8. Now a couple more verses. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Those are the verses that we're tackling today in this Advent season when we're celebrating Jesus coming. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, and we believe that every piece of Scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, it's infallible, it's the living, breathing Word of God, and it's applicable for our lives. And so let's dive in today. Let's go back to the first part of the new stuff, verses 7 and 8. Paul says this. He said, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you. How did Paul feel? How did Paul feel about them? Well, it's the verses that we have covered already. So let's go back and look at those for just a second. So let's get the context. Paul's saying, hey, it's a good thing that I feel that it's right for me to feel this way. Well, feel what? How do you feel? We did all these already. He said he felt thankful. I thank God every time I remember you. He prayed with joy. There's this inexpressible joy that Paul had every time he prayed for them. He was joyous in his prayers because of your partnership in the gospel. He was so excited that they were partnered with the gospel and with him. And he was also confident. So it's right for him to feel how thankful and joyful for them, confident. Confident in what? Confident that they're going to get to heaven someday? Confident in what? Confident that he who began a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. Confident that God that started something is going to be the one that finishes. Confident that their partnership was going to remain strong. That they were good. They got this. This guy Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, like this, saving people all over the world, is speaking this to this church in Philippi. You think they felt encouraged? I mean, can you imagine being part of that, not to get excited about what I preached already, but, just, wow, that Paul was confident. Again, I know I already preached this when I preached it, but when someone that you respect and care about looks you square in the eyeballs and says, you got this. And what does that do for your spirit? You're like, oh, I do, right? Like you can know stuff. You can know stuff and then you can know stuff. You can like, okay, I know God is for me, right? But when someone that carries some weight and authority and some respect in your life comes and looks at you eyeball to eyeball, puts their hand on your shoulder, grabs your face and says, you got this. I'm confident you're going to finish well. You're just like, you stand taller. You believe it. So that's how Paul was feeling. This intense thankfulness and joy and confidence that they got this. They're gonna carry this out because God's started a work and is gonna finish a work in them. So he said, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you. So what does that mean? That word right, it means it's justified, it's appropriate, it's approved by God. So the way that I'm feeling about you is right. It means it's appropriate. This feeling that I'm feeling towards you guys, this joyfulness, this thankfulness, this confidence that you got this, it's approved by God. It's justified. Here's the next one is the dictionary kind of definition of that, the Bible dictionary. It's used of him whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly conformed to the will of God. So Paul's saying it's in a sense, he's saying it's God's will. Like it's approved by God. It's God's will for me to feel this. It's appropriate response for me to feel this way about you. And you're going to see a little bit later that these statements that he's making are just, they're just profound and they're powerful statements. So it would have been easy for them to do this. Paul's saying, I'm not just saying that. I'm not just being nice. I didn't write you just a fluffy letter. Oh, you're the best people I've ever known in the world. Oh, just gosh and golly. Signed Paul, right? It wasn't one of those, oh, go, we should meet up for coffee sometime. You know, oh, you just are the best. He's writing this stuff, and he didn't want them to get that idea about things. This is just a pat on the back. Would you like to buy a car? You know, it's not that kind of a sales pitch. Paul is saying, this is an appropriate response from my heart to have because I know God's got this in you. And I'm so thankful that you guys said yes and you are on board. And Philippians is written to us as well. And so you can just imagine Paul is saying this to us today. You know, he's not here, but he's here. You know, he's part of the cloud of witnesses today. He's saying, I'm so excited that you guys said yes. So excited that you're in this for the long haul, that God's got this. He's going to finish something in you that he started in you. And he convinced them, is trying to convince them that he's not just blowing smoke. He's not just, you know, if this isn't just a Bible talks about a mist here today and gone tomorrow, talking about our life, but about our words just being, you know, of no substance, a mist. And so he's saying, I'm not just saying that. It's right for me to feel this way. It's appropriate. Since, there's that connector word. So, we should make supper since I'm hungry now, right? Like the since is the connector word there. So it's right for me to feel this way about you since, and he's going to give us three things. He's going to tell us three reasons why it's right for him to feel this way. Three reasons why he's so confident. Three reasons why he's so joyful. Three reasons why he knows that this is a good thing, all right? So the three reasons are this. I've shortened them up. I have you in my heart, number one. It's right for me to feel this way since I have you in my heart, and there's all these ands that connect all these. And you guys share in God's grace with me. He's going to talk about that. And I'm specifically praying for you. It's right for me to feel this way because I'm praying for you guys. So it's okay that I've got confidence because I'm praying for you by name, personally, individually, praying for God to do something. It's right for me to feel that way because I know that you guys are sharing in God's grace with me. So these are the three that we're going to look at that are coming up in these verses coming up here. So the first one, it's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And this is a very interesting choice of words for Paul. You know, a lot of us, anybody ever told somebody, hey, you've been on my mind this week? I sent someone a text this morning. I was walking through the church praying for someone, and I texted him and said, hey, I just was walking by your spot. And I said, I was just thinking about you, and you were on my mind. How about in my thoughts? You've been in my thoughts lately. You've been on my mind. You've been on my heart. Someone will say things like that. So, in my mind, on my mind, in my thoughts, on my heart. These are all prepositions that we use about spaces that people occupy. In my heart, on my mind, on my nerves. Wait. We tend to place people in different spots, right? And so sometimes we on my list, right? Sometimes that's not a good thing. And Paul is saying, I have you in my heart. You guys have real estate in me. Some translations will translate it, because I'm in your heart. And most of the commentators say that regardless of however you translate it, they feel like this is the most appropriate one. But regardless, the thought there is that we're connected and we're sharing. You know, like in a marriage, you know, the two shall become one flesh. Like we meld our lives together. And like you have part of me and I have part of you. We're in this together, not just two people walking alongside of each other. There is that as well, but there's an ownership of each other's hearts in that weird kind of a way. And Paul was saying this, you're in my heart. Like, you're not just occupying space in my mind. I'm not just thinking about you. I'm not just thinking fond things about you. You're actually taking up real estate in my heart, and that's where the real you is. That's where do we give our money from? It's from our heart, right? Where do we make decisions from? It's from our heart, or stupidity if we're walking in the flesh, but right, like the deep decisions, it's from the depths of us. And Paul is saying, you guys are in the depths of my heart. And I think what a profound message in 2021. Because I know the general sweeping consensus of our society in this day and age is that nobody's in anybody's hearts. Like, if you look out in the world, people used to be in each other's hearts more. There would be more sacrifice, more respect, more love, more kindness. And in coming into this Christmas season, as Christ followers, Paul is presenting an example for us to follow here. You'll see him say that multiple times. And taking the sacrifice to give people real estate of your heart. And it's just a different way of looking at the commandments of God. Like, man, you guys can see it all over the Word of God. If you're not loving, and I'm not talking about kumbaya, sit around a fire, I feel fuzzy for you kind of love. I'm talking about sacrificial, I put your needs as higher than my needs. My sacrifice for the betterment of you, for the good of you, that kind of love, man, I need to be in our heart in order to do that. It's difficult to do that towards someone that we hate. And now none of us hate anybody, so that's good. But, you know, when those things want to creep into our hearts, and how much more should we be able to walk into this body of believers? And I get it. Like, I'm just rattling these things off. These are big things. Like, it's not easy to do. This is not a small thing. But how beautiful would it be if we were in each other's hearts, which is scriptural, that we're sacrificing for one another, just within this church body, let alone being the feet and hands of Jesus out there, as George was talking about earlier, shining light and being love. We've closed off our hearts because it's such a nasty, bitter world right now. And I just want to challenge us, stop. Just let God just take that clay and get his little eyedropper of holy water and just soften our hearts so that we let people into our hearts. It's really easy to live life like this. Hey, love you. Love you too. Right? Isn't it? Can anyone relate to that? Not going to hurt me again, bugger. Right? But I love you, right? I love you. Can't stand you, but I love you. Right? It's easy to get because we've been hurt, and all of us have. We get bitter. We take on other people's offenses. And so Paul is just saying, hey, you know what? I have you in my heart. I'm confident. I'm excited. It's right for me to feel this way because I have you in my heart. So the second one is, here's the and, since it's right for me to feel this way, since I have you in my heart and you share in God's grace with me. So all of you are partaking, and this is written to you as well. You guys are participating. You're sharing in the. You grew up with kind of a community drinking bucket in the house, right? Like you had a ladle and or outside or something. Kind of. Yep. Yep. No. Water, agua, yeah, well water, yes, yes. So there was a, yes, this is being recorded, so please watch your answers carefully. So if I remember your stories right, yeah, whether it was inside or outside or wherever it was, you had a, just inside, yep, so inside you had a bucket and had a ladle and you drank off it and then you ran it through the sanitizer in the dishwashing cycle, yeah. Or you put it back in the bucket. It was a common bucket, and everybody participated and shared the love and everything else, right? Right, exactly. We had common antibodies as well. And so it's that kind of idea. Paul is saying is we're drinking out of a common bucket here. It's not Paul and then the other people. Paul's saying, the only way I can serve Jesus, the only way that I can preach to the lost, the only way that I can plant churches, the only way that I can do what I'm called to do is the same way, the only way you can do what you're called to do. We're drinking out of the same bucket, kiddos. We're all sharing in this. There's not a Paul grace. Well, if you're Paul and Peter, you get to drink out of thine holy bucket, right? Nah, you got the same ladle every other dirty mouth bugger is going to drink out of, right? We're all drinking out of that same bucket of grace. We're all sharing. We all desperately need God's provision, God's salvation, God's empowerment, God's leading, God's direction, God's guiding. We need all that, the grace and favor. And remember, the word grace, it's interchangeable with favor. One definition usually fits better, but those words, it's the same word, charis, charis, and it can be translated grace and favor. And so all of you share in God's favor. All of you are sharing in God's grace. All of you are sharing in God's empowerment. And I'm wondering if that was surprising for them. Because it's like superstar Paul. And Paul's like, yep, you're drinking from my bucket. I'm drinking from yours. Like we're sharing in this same outpouring, this same grace. I'm not a super guy. I'm just being obedient to my calling. You're being obedient to your calling. We've got different offices. We've got different assignments, but it's the same bucket. And I think that would have been encouraging for them. And go back up a little bit. And I think this might have been challenging as well. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. So whether I'm out on a big, whether I'm out on TBN, you know, with all the cameras and lights and crews, or over in, you know, with the crowds as far as the eye can see, whether people are lining up at the altar and I'm seeing people healed, or I'm in chains. Yeah, big glamorous life I've got, right? Chained up, house arrest, or in a prison, depending on which time in his life it's talking about. He's saying, whether I'm in chain, like if we were judging the efficacy, right, the results of Paul's ministry, is that a great ministry? Is he doing a good job? Nah, he got locked up this week. Oh, really? Yeah, he was locked up for like 2 years last year. I mean, I don't know if he's just like torquing people off, right? Paul was following the leading and the nudges of the Holy Spirit, following the voice of God. And he said this, that it's the same bucket of grace, whether I'm in chains or whether I'm out with the crowds. Whether I've got people writing me letters saying, you're the best preacher ever, thanks for coming to our house and healing my daughter, or whether I'm in prison and no one visits me. It's the same grace. Now that word grace is also translated favor. How many of you would look at Paul's life as he's sitting in prison, not even having food at times, cold, sometimes naked, hungry? Man, that guy's walking in the favor of God. I think if you were reading this as part of the Philippian church, you'd be way, like the guy that, because they read these publicly often, all the time. I think the first time you heard that, you'd be like, hold on, Mark, could you read that part again? Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Okay, could you read that again? Like, okay, you're talking about like favor, grace, right? Could you read that again? Because he's saying, whether I'm in chains or whether I'm having the most profound, effective ministry that you could imagine, I'm sharing in the grace of God with you guys. Wow. You see, I wouldn't have labeled, I would think, well, God's maybe going to have mercy on you because you're in prison, but God's grace is really working when you're, or maybe the other way around. Maybe you really need God's grace when you're in prison, but you know, you're a great preacher. He's like, no, don't judge the grace and favor of God by the results that you see in your life. Just know that this is a fact. You're walking in God's favor. You're walking in God's favor. You're walking. Paul's saying, when I'm chained down in prison and I don't even have a blanket and I'm freezing and I'm hungry, you guys are sharing in that same grace of God with me. Paul, you said favor. You meant like sufferings, right? Grace of God. Favor of God. He's like, you got to know that it's true. Otherwise, you'll be tempted every time the circumstances change in your life to measure the grace of God. Oh, yeah. See, it's not here now. Paul's saying, no, we're all drinking from that same bucket. Don't measure it by what you're seeing. Measure it by the God who's giving it. Don't measure it by the circumstances and how you feel about it. Measure it by the God who's pouring out the bucket. Amen? Does that kind of preach a little bit? Next highlight here says this, and this is kind of a, when you read through this, when you're just doing your devotions, it's so easy to miss some of this stuff. God can testify. Wait a minute. He's like, you don't believe me? Ask God. That's why I think this is such a profound statement. And if I was reading this in my devotions, which I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, I have never seen it like this. Because he made such a profound statement, man, it is like God's will. It's right for me to feel this way about you because he's going to carry this to completion. He started it. He's going to finish it. I'm thankful and joyful for you. Man, I'm excited about this. I know it's going to work. You're drinking out of the same bucket. Like, man, we're all in this grace thing together. And he says this, I know you think I'm just giving you the car salesman pitch here, like the glad handing, back slapping, you guys are so awesome. He's like, God can test. God can tell you. If you don't believe me that I've got you in my heart, ask God. God can testify. Like, he's calling God as witness here. He's saying, God as my witness. Like the Bible tells us not to swear by heaven or earth, let your yes be yes. So he's, in essence, if it was appropriate, he'd be like, I swear to God. Like, he was saying, like, God could tell you that my heart is so for you. I long for you all, look at this, with the affection of who? Christ Jesus. You see, it's Christ in me that allows me to be able to sacrifice and love you like that. It's not my own strength. It's not my own power. It's the work of God in me. Okay, so we saw, it's right for me to feel this way since I have you in my heart and you share in God's grace with me. And now we're going to see, it's appropriate for me to feel this way because I'm praying for you. And he says, and this is my prayer. Are we praying for one another? Like, I just got done saying, man, I love this body that will agree to pray. And I know, you know, you talked about it this morning. You put something on in our prayer group and people prayed and you saw amazing results. And, you know, we just prayed for some people this morning. But are our hearts being stirred to pray for one another? I would just challenge us, please let that happen. Please let that happen. Please let your heart be stirred. Let the love of Jesus Christ bring people to mind and pray for them specifically. Pray for them by name. Pray for them by situation. Pray for the glory of God to be revealed in their lives. This is my prayer. Okay, what's the prayer? So we're going to read. Anytime you find a prayer that Paul prayed in the Bible, or Peter prayed, or someone else prayed, Jesus prayed, it's probably our okay prayers, right? If you're like, hey, I just don't really know how to pray. I don't know. Can you pray like that? Well, let's look at the big shots, right? How did they pray? This is Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. He said this, I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I pray that your love grows. And what is the word abound? A lot of translations say overflow. That your love, here's my prayer. Paul's saying, man, I'm excited. It's right for me to feel this way. I've got you in my heart. I'm sacrificing my life for you. I would give whatever I could to see you prosper, but I know you're gonna, because God started it. He's gonna finish it. So I'm gonna pray for you, because I can't be with you right now. So I'm gonna pray for you, because he's actually in prison when he wrote this. He's like, here's my prayer. And like, just right off the bat, here's his prayer, that you would overflow with love. How many would characterize yourself, I would like you to, if this is true, stand up and wave, no, I'm just kidding, as overflowing with love. Like, just like it pours out of us. Like, I feel that some days, if we would all be honest and gather in a circle, and like, it's not going to leave the circle, we're just going to talk about our days here, and if I ask the question, how well did you love today? Like, some days, and I'm just going to be honest, some days our honest answer would be, I didn't swear out loud at so-and-so. like that would be our level of love on some day. Anyone, don't raise your hand. Like, anyone ever had one of those days? Like, okay, like, and that's not the bar that where Paul is setting it. That's not overflow. That's like, just barely staying holy. That's like, just okay. Trying not to kill people and strangle them, right? And Paul's like, nah, my prayer's for overflowing love. Overflowing love. Bubbling out over. Not that there's not hard decisions and choices and sacrifices, but love that flows out of us. So we saw earlier, you know, the sentence before that it was with the love of Jesus Christ. So if there's no, here, just hang with me. If there's no overflow, you need to check the flow. If it's not flowing over, you have to check what's flowing in. I don't have to have a really special cup to run it over. And I have one that looks like I've got one out there that looks like a camera lens. I can have one that says Vikings on it. Well, there's always something going to happen to that one. But I can have a coffee cup. I can have a little styrofoam cup. I could have a, you know, I could have a big tall glass. I could have a 5-gallon bucket. I could have an ice cream pail. I could have a thimble. I could have it made out of steel. It could be made out of plastic. It could be made out of glass, styrofoam, paper. It doesn't really matter. How do I get that to run over with water? Boy, if we only had a stainless steel cup, then it would run over with water. Hey, I tell you what. If we got some special order carbon fiber cups, because they're lighter, but they're strong, then we could overflow. It would flow over. The water would flow out of it. Dude, get a clay cup that you baked and made a mud pie and made the circle in it, stick it under the fountain. Guess what's going to happen in about 8 seconds? It's going to fill up and run over. The problem's not with the cup, it's with the flow. All God's people said, ouch, right? You don't got a faulty cup. You just need to get in the flow. And that should be a challenge. That should be, like, if your toes are not throbbing right now, I don't know what you're listening to. Take the game out of your headphones, because this is painful stuff. If we're not overflowing, you just check the flow. What's flowing into us? Do we have more YouTube and Instagram and Snapchat and news flowing into us than we have flow of the Holy Spirit? Now the other foot should be hurting, right? This is tough stuff, but that was Paul's prayer. Man, I want your love to overflow. You can't do it. You don't have enough love. You don't even have enough love for you, let alone the world. It needs to overflow, but it's going to be through Christ Jesus. And he also prayed that our love may overflow, abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul's not saying, I want you to have this touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy feeling about everybody where you just got this pie in the sky and giggly and rainbows and, right? He's saying, I want you to grow in knowledge and understanding. I want you to grow in wisdom. Like, that's what this means, insight, this wisdom, this knowledge, as we grow in love. And sometimes people give us a hard time, you know, maybe more of the churches that like to be really angry all the time. I just talk about love all the time. Well, it seems like the Bible talks about love all the time, but I think where the problem comes is our definition of love. I love you and you love me and we're just all happy, clappy and whatever, and it's okay to do whatever you want to do. No, that's not okay at all. Paul is saying, I want your love to grow and I want it to overflow, but I want you to have this greater understanding and insight about the depravity of your own heart, about the needs of other people, about the awesomeness of God. I want you to grow in insight. I don't want you to just be all just happy, clappy, lovey, huggy, and that's good, but like I want your discernment, your depth, your insight, your wisdom. I want that to grow. I want you to be able to see areas in your own heart as you're growing in love. You're like, ooh, yuck. Wow, I was overflowing and it spilled onto some of my yuck here. God, help me with some yuck. Oh, wow, I didn't even notice that they're wearing the same coat that they wore 5 years ago. Wow, maybe they really like that coat. I might ask them, or I might just buy them a new coat. I don't know. But I never noticed that before. I'm growing, like, whoa, I never noticed how much God loved me in that area. I wonder if I can, because it's insight, it's depth, it's understanding. I wonder if I can shine that kind of love towards someone else. Show them how God loves like that. Wow, wouldn't that be cool? Growing in depth of insight. So that, here we go, so that, grow in this love and depths of insight so that you'll be able to discern. Do you remember from our wisdom series, discernment? We spent a couple weeks on discernment. It's taking three or four things that look equally good, that look all the same. They're all, and I, you know, we always talk about, I hate choices. I get so paralyzed by choices. I research myself to death, and then I still make the wrong choice. And, oh, it's horrible, and now my life is over. And Marnie's like, shut up. It's not that bad. Just make a choice. It's either tacos or pizza. That's. But seriously, so it's discernment is able to take things that look equally good or bad, but to be able to kind of pull the veil back and see it for what it is and go, oh, well, I see. Boy, if I would make that choice, yeah, then these other things, okay, yeah, this is clearly the right choice. So this discernment, and what's really easy, we think, it's not really, we think it's really easy to discern other people's lives. I'll tell you what your problem is, Justin. You can grow a better beard than I do. That's your problem. It's easy for us to have discernment in it. Trust me, it's not. It's easy to have suspicion and opinions. True biblical discernment, not so much. About others, but when it comes to us, I don't really need much discernment. I kind of got it together. And everyone in the room laughs. What? What? I kind of do, don't I? It's easy to have discernment or opinions about others, but true discernment about our own heart, that's what it's telling us. As we grow in love and knowledge and depth of insight, we're going to have discernment for all those things that you thought were just fine in your life, all those motives that you thought were pure, all those things that you thought were, well, this isn't hurting anybody. I don't really see it listed in the Bible, so that's all right. All these things that are probably maybe, well, sure, they're probably, it's not really that bad. I don't, like, hate them. You know, just I'm not going to go be their friend. All of a sudden, you start overflowing in love. God gives you increase in insight and understanding, and you start discerning things in your heart. You're like, man, I thought these things were all like, all right, maybe I could work on this area a little bit. And you start seeing through some of that stuff, and you go, oh, really? I don't want that in my life. And he kind of finishes that thought with, so that you can discern what is best. Sometimes the enemy of the best is the good. It's not the bad. It's the good. It's things that are okay. It's okay. It's acceptable. But it's not what's best. So you'll be able to discern what is best, and you'll be pure and blameless. Pure and blameless. And I was just thinking about purity. God, purify my heart, purify my life. What are we talking about? And I was thinking about how sometimes we think like everything has to be like, let me say it like this. Has anyone ever bought purified water? Nobody? A couple people? Okay. Has anyone bought bottled water? If you look at it next time, it says purified, usually you're like, no, I've never bought that specialty stuff. If you bought a bottle of water, right, it's either distilled or purified. So if you bought purified water, you did not get new water. And I was processing through this. I'm like, the water was always good. Like, the water was good. It was 2O. It was H2. It was two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom. That's what you got when it started before it was purified. That's what you got after it's purified. It's H2O. So the problem is, this water's dirty. I need new water. Well, if you can't purify it, yeah, that might be true. Anyone have bugs in their house a lot this year? Oh my gosh. It was like Egypt plague kind of bugs this year. The number of stupid bugs that I have drank in my water and coffee, like, it's just not even, it's like out of a horror show. It doesn't even, like, anymore, we'll be sitting around, you know, in our living room or at the table, and someone will spit, and you're just like, it doesn't even, like, at the end, we're like, well, what happened? Oh, there was a fly! Now we're just like, we don't even care anymore. I noticed it, like, just this morning, I think it was. I went to take a drink out of my glass, and there's a ladybug in there. I'm like, get it, right? It's not the water that's bad. It's the impurities. Yeah. What are we really after? It's the impurity. Like, we don't need new water. We just need the impurities out. Now, you, on your cars, you have an oil filter. And now the oil does break down, so that's a little different story. We do need to change that. But in the very beginning, you need a filter. What is the filter for? To give you new oil? No. Your oil's fine the way it is. What's the oil filter for? Filter out the impurities. Because that's what the problem is. It's the impurities. It's not the oil. It's not the water. The water's not the problem. The water from the creek is not the problem. It's just the, you know, the runoff and the, you know, the dead deer laying up the stream and what. It's the impurities. It's the impurities that actually happened to us. We went on a hike and, you know, we would drink out of our creek once in a while. We went on a hike and up the stream, there was a decaying deer in the stream. I'm like, kids, don't drink out of the creek anymore. And then, you know, you shouldn't. And you're like, but it's nature. It's clean, right? Not always. It's the impurities. And what in our life causes the problems? You see, it's not that we love the things. It's not that our loves are wrong or our desires are wrong or our motives are wrong. It's that they get twisted and there gets to be impurities in that points them in a wrong direction. And the impurity, like, we feel like my whole life is just, you know, I need a whole new life. No, we need to be cleansed of the impurities. It's the impurities that cause us the grief. It's the impurities that cause the bitterness to be held on to. It's the impurities that cause us, that turns a healthy love into a lust. It's the impurities that takes a pure thought and gets impure and then turns it. It's impurities that creates a desire, you know, a good desire to create wealth and be a helpful. We talked about that in our generosity series. That, you know, the desire to get wealth and be useful. Man, that's a God thing. The desire for more than my neighbor has, it's impurity's got in there. Now it's greed. Now it's classified in the scriptures as evil. Something that started out good. So God wants to purify us. He wants to be pure and blameless. Because then you're down to the good water. right? You're down to the good flow. Just get the impurities out, and then you'll be drinkable, right? Your level increase, you'll be drinkable. And we read this last time. See, this is a little further in Philippians. This is from our Shining Star one. Do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that what? Same language. Let me go back to the other one. You'll be pure and blameless. And one chapter later, Paul says, so that you might become blameless and pure. Do you think Paul thinks that's a big priority? He really does. He really does. Let me read a couple more verses. 1 John 3:2-3 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. We strain that stuff out because it poisons us and it poisons others. We don't need that garbage in our lives. God's given us a life that is meant to be walked out in purity and holiness. I was reading this last night. I had to actually add this in because it warmed my heart so much. It's the whole visions of Daniel, and he's talking about the end times, and he's saying, he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the very end. Many will be purified and made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. That line there. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise, those who are growing in love and gaining understanding and insight, those who are wise will understand. That just warmed my heart because, like, this is way back in Daniel, and he's talking about end times. He's like, dude, wicked gonna be wicked. They don't get it. Like, why are you beating your head on the wall? Like, they're just, the wicked are gonna be wicked. But many will be purified, made spotless and refined. He's talking about, this is Old Testament, talking about even after our time or at the end of our whatever, but talking about end times. I'm like, God, it's on your heart. You want to purify people. Like, it just, instead of like this, you got a spot in your life, like instead of like this guilt kind of thing, it just gave me hope. I'm like, God's excited about purifying his people. We'll finish up here. As we end this verse here, it's filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Your lives, as we close out here, your lives are meant to be to the glory of God. It's meant to give praise. Your lives are to the glory of God. It wasn't just that we are going to give glory to God. Listen, it's that as you do this, your life is going to, your kingdom life is going to be filled up with fruitfulness. And that's going to praise God. Not that you are going to praise God with your lips. The act of what's going on in your life, your love overflowing, you growing in insight, God finishing the work in your life, it's going to be to the glory and praise of God. One last verse as we're done. It reminded me of this in Luke chapter 2. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, look at this, glory to God in the highest heavens. Hold on, let me back up. So it's going to be to the glory and praise of God. Your lives are meant to be your lives, your fruitfulness, how you live your life. The work that God's doing is meant to glorify God. So as the kingdom of heaven was coming into earth, as Jesus was born, the angels, the host of heaven, they said, glory to God, praise to God in the heavens. So praise to him in the heavens. And on earth, fruitfulness, peace, love, joy, right? Peace on them, his grace rests, his favor rests, right? Paul said, we're drinking out of a common bucket here. The angels appeared as Christ is coming onto the scene. He's like, they're saying, this activity on earth is going to be full of fruit, and it's going to give praise to God in heaven. Anywhere you see grace, that's what you're going to see. Anywhere you see the favor of God, that's what you're going to see. Fruitfulness in our lives that give glory to God above. Amen. Let me pray. God, I just pray for fruitfulness. Pray, God, that we would, just all these things that we talked about today, that we would have people in our hearts, that we would follow that example, that we'd purify our hearts and lives, God, that you would continue that work in us, God. Help us to be fruitful and that our lives would give God praise. We pray for a great week, pray for a great practice today in just bless us as we go from this place in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.